Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz here with you, and what a great week this is. The market sucked, but NC2A basketball starts tomorrow. They had the selection committee on Sunday. What'd you think? Did you think they did a good job? How about the bracket getting released early? You think those guys aren't on the take too? You know, remember, this is a Bubba saying, life comes down to two things. One of them is money. And that's what this whole big extravaganza about is, money, because guys like me will be watching it, betting on it, doing pools. I think if you took all the money involved in the NCAA tournament, I think it's bigger than the Super Bowl, okay? Because obviously there's a lot more games, and it's over time, and Vegas this weekend will be packed with unbelievable amounts of people that are there to watch and cheer and bet, and, you know, again, pools after pools. So who do you like? I will give you my selection. I think that Michigan State will win it all. Okay, I think that they'll not go off Kansas. I think that Michigan State got screwed on the seeding. They should have been number one, but hey, it doesn't matter. I think that the committee did their usual choke job and didn't seem it valuable to put in some of these smaller schools, because again, they care about the money too. But they don't realize at one point, they're kind of like the Federal Reserve. They don't get it. They don't get that these smaller schools create unbelievable excitement if they throw a game on, and their attendance would actually be bigger and their ratings would be bigger if some of these no-name schools like Monmouth or, say, Bonaventure actually were in, because people love the underdog in these tournaments. Unless you're rooting for that specific team, people love the underdog in this tournament. And so, you know, but hey, you know what? Who am I? I'm just a guy on the sidelines looking to have some fun. And again, I can't wait. I mean, it's nonstop for, you know, I have to even stay up past my bedtime. It's nonstop for the first 4 days, you know, all day long, starting at about noon Eastern and going till midnight. So it's a lot of fun. And I think that we'll look at some games and see, but I think you want to look for the go against teams, and I think there's a number of those. Excuse me, as well. I think you want to look at, you know, I think Temple is a dog. They're one of the worst in the deal. I think that Oregon's overvalued at a one seed. I think that Kentucky is a team to watch. That would be my, not that you can call Kentucky a sleeper, but they'd be somebody that I'd watch as a sleeper because of their seeding. Excuse me. And it's interesting. Think about this. Kentucky beat Texas A&M to win that tournament, and yet Texas A&M is ranked above them. I think the committee did some good jobs in pairing up possible games, and that would be Indiana-Kentucky, Texas A&M. So that would be, you know, some interesting stuff. But again, it's about the money. It's about where they go. You notice how they place them in these new pods that they have and all that stuff. But, you know, it's going to be a great tournament, I think. It always is. I think it'll be, you know, a lot of fun. And I think that there'll be a lot of upsets, as always. You look for almost every year a 12 beats a 5. You know, now who's that 12 going to be? That's obviously always the question. But if you're playing brackets, you got to go for some shots. Very rarely does the early rounds go true to form. By the later rounds, typically there will. I mean, I predict now that there'll be 2 1 seeds in the finals, and probably a 2 and probably a 4 or higher. That's typically the breakdown. Very rarely do they seed them correctly. But, you know, again, it's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, watch a couple of those teams. I think, you know, if they get in, you know, and they're not very good, they're probably not very good, and they don't look for an upset. The usual upsets will come from somebody that you don't expect it from, somebody you're maybe not familiar with, you know, because we don't get to see a lot of those smaller conferences. You know, they don't get an air very much. So they're not going to, you know, they're going to impress you. And again, you know, those guys tighten up a little bit when the game gets going. So it's always something to keep an eye on and to watch for. But at the end, you know, it'll be most likely Kansas figures to get there. Villanova figures to get knocked out. Oregon figures to get knocked out. North Carolina, you just never know. And then we'll see from there. So it'll be a lot of fun, and I think that it'll be exciting, but not as exciting as how the markets have been trading the last few days. God almighty, can you bust at what's going on here? It is like the markets have decided that it's time to go to sleep. It's amazing that we see no more interest anywhere. Now, why is that? Well, there's a lot of reasons for that. First of all, the markets are dull. There's not a lot of volume. There's not a lot of activity. So if we go by that and we understand that, then we know what do we think is happening. Well, to me, I would guess that the markets are still being tried. People are like me, are still trying to sell them, looking for areas, and the markets aren't ready to break yet. But the real problem is that the reason they're not ready to break yet is because there's no place else to go. So we've got the issue of no place to put your money, tied with a lot of people believe we're overvalued, tied with we're being dragged along by just a few stocks. I mean, we're not being dragged by anything of substantial stuff. We're being dragged around by many of the, there are a few stocks here and there. If you know what you're doing, a few pointed stocks carry the value. So at the end of it, you know, it will, this whole house of cards will melt down. I guarantee it. But you cannot try to time it, which is why I always say, you know, if you're an investor, why don't you just hedge your portfolio and then you don't have to think about it. Okay. Then it just doesn't matter. If you're in it for the long haul and you're hedged, then the market doesn't matter what it does. And you never even have to watch it, okay? You look at it once a week just to see if there's a chance for you to pick up a couple of shekels while you're waiting, okay? But don't think that you have to do anything special. I mean, if you're investing, you're investing. You shouldn't be looking at the markets on a regular basis. I mean, the truth of the matter is you were better off, you know, 30 years ago when they didn't have all this technology. Because you could just look when you wanted to look. You'd look at the paper or whatever, and they'd put the stock tables in there. But now, everybody wants to look all the time. Everybody wants to know. Everybody, you got to know. You know, you got to know what's going on. And why? It doesn't do you any good. It believe me, it will cause you more grief than good by being in a position to always look at what's going on. Because at the end of the day, the markets are the markets. They're going to trade. If you're investing, you're investing, and you shouldn't be worried about gyrations. The same thing I tell farmers and producers who are in the grain business or the livestock business. You cannot look at the market tick to tick. You're not going to be selling tick by tick, so why bother? Why drive yourself crazy? Hedge yourself, be relaxed, and don't worry about it, okay? That's what I'm trying to tell you, okay? Now, make sure you take a look at our friends at Thinkorswim. You know, every day at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock Eastern, they're doing swim lessons. I mean, it's a great program that they offer. My buddies over there are running it. So make sure you check it out. If you ever miss an episode of the show, the Bubba Show, all you have to do is go to libertytalk.fm and you will get it on demand. And we just passed again, the 200,000 mark. I'm proud of that and looking to get more. I got to get you. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be back on the day before the NCAAs. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break. Right, turn off the lights. We're going to lose our minds tonight. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Bubba here. What's going on? everybody. And, you know, I'll tell you. You know, the Fed and the central banks can do all the financial crap they want. But at the end of the day, how are they going to create growth? That's what I want to know. Okay? They can spin it. They can do whatever the hell they want. But at the end of the day, how are they going to fix earnings and growth? They're not. Okay? Now, you know, one of the things we talked about is volume's a concern. Well, it's only a concern if you're thinking you're short in the market. Okay? If you're long and you're long good stocks, then you're probably doing okay here. And again, there's going to be something to do. You know, I think you have to look, though, at the way the markets are starting to diverge a little bit. You know, they're all kind of scattered. And that's another indication that there's some pointed buying going on right now. Okay. And, you know, again, it doesn't matter. You can't, the market's never wrong. Okay. So let's agree on that. The market itself is never wrong. So we can't ever say that the market's wrong because it's not. At the end of the day, that's the mark. That's where it's at. And that's what you have. So we can't say that the market is wrong. We can only say that, hey, we think differently. But again, to think differently and to put yourself in jeopardy is not a good idea. Okay. So, you know, I've talked about this a couple of times, but is this country on the verge of a possible revolt? Now, you know, there's different ways of revolts. There's financial revolts. There's fighting revolts. But, you know, everybody kind of laughs off the stuff that's going on with Donald Trump and at his rallies where you have the protesters. But those are getting a little bit violent. Now, you don't think for one minute that there's not a lot of people that are disgruntled like that. Okay. Now, you know, you would think they'd be more disgruntled at some of the other policies that we're seeing. But that is just telling you that, you know, there's something to what's going on. And again, I'm not predicting it's going to happen. I'm not predicting it'll happen anytime soon. I am saying that it's certainly a possibility. We certainly have problems in this country. Okay. So, you know, think about that. And, you know, the Fed rhetoric is only making matters worse because they just don't get it. I mean, you can say whatever you want. They just have no clue. David Stockman came out the other day and said what I've said for the last year, but, you know, they just don't get it. They're lost. They are like somebody who is, you know, in way over their head. And of course, the way they run the economy just proves that they're in way over their head. Okay. Now, I think one of the things you have to look at is, you know, are our banks going to have a meltdown here? Okay. Because think about this. Okay. Banks make their money by really collecting interest. Okay. They don't really, you know, nobody, no credit card company, no bank, they really don't want you to pay the balance back fast. They really don't want you to pay the balance back at all. They want you to keep paying that interest. They want that interest to continue to grow. And so when you look at it and you say, if you agree with that, well, the banks aren't creating enough interest payments. Yes, they are making some money on their, you know, what they give to the full faith and credit and a few other things. But right now, they have to be perfect. They have no room to cover up a mistake. Okay. You know, we talk about often about the banks and their trading desks and things like that. Okay. Now, you know, when the whale trader got caught, okay, how many times do you think he made that whale trade before he finally got caught? You know, how many billions of dollars do you think he made JP Morgan before he finally got caught, the trade caught up to him? Okay. You have to think about those things because, you know, it's always like, well, it's the first time I ever did that, right? First time, never happened before, you know? And we all know that's a bunch of crap. Okay. So are they in trouble? And I would argue that the banks are in trouble because all the regulation and the refusal to put out money on the street, which means that they're not creating money, which means their balance sheets are starting to look messy because, you know, they use very fancy accounting, our banker friends. Okay. And, you know, everything's an asset. Okay. It's a great way of matching up. You know, we've talked about this with China and how they mark things. Well, you know, everybody marks it to their advantage. So it's something that you of interest to think about. Okay. Because that could possibly be a potential problem. Okay. Now, one of the questions I have is, do we even need a central bank? Was there ever a need for a central bank? Now, of course, the Keynesians will say yes and the Austrians will say no. I don't really know. I'm not an economist, but I can tell you this much, that the central bank in which we have right now isn't one that's not worth having. That I will say for sure. Okay, because the central bank as it sits now is worthless. Okay, now again, there's both sides, and you can spin it however you want, but I do believe that the banks only have their best interests at heart. The central bank, I believe their job is to create money, which is not good. Okay, so, you know, I don't know. I was always under the opinion that we probably needed something to clear, but now I'm beginning to wonder if that's indeed a necessity. I'm just curious what your thoughts are on that, but I don't think that there's ever a necessity, I guess. Either there it should have been or it shouldn't have been. But I do know that since the central banks have been involved and I've been tracking it more actively, there has been more problems and there has been less free market. Now, I do know that, you know, when you're dealing in a free market system, a market should be truly free. And our markets are not truly free because of manipulation, because of the ability to print money. And I ask the question very simply. Why is the Fed different than Bernie Madoff? Okay. Think about it. Okay. I mean, I could argue that the Fed was worse than Bernie Madoff. Bernie Madoff stung. He stole a lot of money, but he stole from people that had it and kept investing in it. And he had a choice at any time to say, I don't want to be in anymore. Of course, that is something that they can do. And as an investor, you take that risk. However, the Fed is killing the middle class because we get to pay for all their crap. We get to be involved and deal with every mess that they make because we get to pay through it through taxes. Okay, we get it spun off on us too through inflation. Any number of ways, we get the good fortune of having to clean up the stains that the ignoramuses at the Federal Reserve leave behind. Because what do they care? It's not their money. You know, you look at the destruction of capital that they have just gone through. Okay, this whole bailout's been over $4 trillion. So Where is it coming from? Who do you think is paying that $4 trillion? It's you and me. Okay. So, you know, not only do we have to go to work, and not only do we have candidates who want us to pay more taxes, but we get to pick up and bail out the Fed because that's how the system works. So maybe it is time to say so long and farewell to the Federal Reserve, because certainly they don't have a clue at what they're doing, number one. Number two, the idea of what they were there for is no longer being served. I don't know that it ever was. And there's theories of the creation of the Fed and why it was created. But there's a lot of things there that they don't do anyway. So what do I need them for? So I can pay more in? So I can work harder and make less? I find that to be an offensive style of what's going on. And to me, the overall problem is that they're not doing anything that will benefit us in the long run. So when I look at it, I go, I'm not very happy with what's going on here. And of course, why would I be? They don't do anything to make me want to be happy. They consistently knock me down. But at the end of the day, you know, it is what it is. We'll get into it more because I could talk forever about it. But check out our friends at Thinkorswim. It's built by traders for traders. They've got tremendous amounts of education they're trying to help you with. You got my buddies over there. They're going to take care of you. They want you to be better off. They want you to learn to trade because it's better for everybody. So go check out their swim lessons every day. In the meantime, if you ever miss an episode, go to libertytalk.fm and you can get download the episode. And furthermore, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to step out here for a break. And I will be right back at the break with our buddy Matt Bema. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's time for my guy, my analyst, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. What do you say, Matt?
I'm good. How you doing, Todd?
Well, a little rough. They've been beating me up a little bit because I keep looking at these upper side levels and expecting to see some sort of pullback, and of course they won't pull back. They continue to plow ahead and move forward, and they love the Mario Draghi now, you know, zero is negative rates, and they love that they're now becoming, not only are they central bank, but they're now becoming investors. I mean, I think it's kind of a joke myself, but you know, that really doesn't have any effect on the charts. The charts have not been able to really fulfill back, and I'm sure they will. But what are you seeing, my man?
Well, I'm seeing that while Europeans are going into more negative rates, I think we're actually going to see a raise this week from the Fed.
Wow! So you think the Fed is dumb enough to raise rates into and even destroy the commodity space further?
Yeah, I mean, the reason I think so is that the dollar index is close to a major support that I'm looking at, a target support that should bounce it pretty well. It's not there yet. That's targets around mid-94, so say about 94.50 in the dollar index. So we're close enough that if we get there or close by Wednesday, we should see a bounce in the dollar. Now, if that, maybe that's not a raise, but it has to be a pretty hawkish statement.
Well, I don't disagree. Look, they're ridiculous enough to do anything. But so let's take a look back. Last week you said you were looking for a high in the markets, and they really busted out a little bit. But you also said that you had to be very leery and very careful around the ECB, and of course that was exactly the case. So what's your summary from what we looked at last week?
Well, from last week, the key for me was the Euro Stoxx 50. I probably said it, you know, five or six times that I was looking at 3,080 on Thursday, right after the ECB announcement. We hit it. We went past it by almost the maximum of my margin of error. We went up to 3,125, which, you know, almost went too far. But you often see spikes like that. It actually went through the line slightly, but that's not a big deal. But that was it. That was the target I've been looking for. It felt we were up 3.6% at the peak. We then fell and ended the day down 1.5%. So that was a 5% swing in Euro stocks. That's kind of what I want to see at the top when it just has a really violent reaction to the line. Same thing with the DAX. My target in the DAX was 10,000 even, but that was just a rough sort of where that line was a little bit less exact than what I had for the Euro stocks. Well, we almost got 10,000. We missed it by 5 points. So to me, both those European indices hit their targets and then fell away. Both, you know, ended on our lows of the day, down 5% from their peaks. That, to me, that was perfect. I think, you know, they're done. We can go back up to those highs. But I think that the next move there is going to be much lower. Now, in the U.S., I don't know. I mean, the U.S. S&P, you know, it's pushed through a lot of resistance and just, you know, just continues. So what I'm doing is I'm focusing on Europe, and I'm shifting from U.S. shorts to European shorts at this point.
All right, well, that makes sense. Now, I had emailed or texted you at on last Tuesday. I said, okay, the highs are in. And I looked pretty good until Friday, especially after that reversal on Thursday. I was kind of caught off guard a little bit by Friday's action after they had the reversal on Thursday. What did you think?
Yeah, well, you know, we actually had where the S&P stopped on, I guess it was Wednesday. It was Tuesday when you were talking about. Well, that high looked good to me. That should have been, for me, also a top. I had resistance there. I have resistance where we are right now. But the problem is the way my patterns work, I have multiple choices as to where, how to interpret where, you know, a top target would be. So where we ended Friday would work. We could also go all the way up to 2057. That's what I have as the highest plausible target. You know, that we could reach that. That's possible. As long as in the course of, you know, the U.S. moving up, if that were to happen, the European indices really don't go, you know, much above their highs of Thursday, then I'm of the mind that we're going to see a sell-off. Probably, if I'm right, we're going to get a hawkish statement at least, or even a rate rise out of the Fed. That should probably put the nail in the coffin for the U.S. as well. However, you know, historically we tend to run up. We tend to have some, you know, U.S. equity strength going into the statement. I don't know if that'll be the case this time.
Well, it's an interesting. I mean, the action has certainly been interesting, and we see a lot of things happening now. Do you figure in, or do you track in, you know, this is a triple witching expiration week. Do you figure in, does any of that go into your work?
I know that we're going to, typically when options are going to expire, if, you know, the dealers are going to try to get, you know, as many options to expire as possible. And I don't typically follow where that point is. But I'm sure it does play into it.
I'm just curious, you know, because when you're doing work, I mean, you're a basic, you know, I mean, you're a chartered market technician, and you're just a basic. You read the charts, and you don't really care about the outside news. But this is something that if you were using this, you could actually chart some of these moves in, because again, as you and I both know, history repeats itself over and over again. It may be from different levels, but it always repeats itself, does it not?
Yeah, no, I mean, yes, it does. And as far as triple witching and the options, I mean, I know that plays a factor into it. That's something that I probably should follow a bit more. But I just look more at the, you know, the price patterns to kind of, you know, glean that sort of information.
So when you're looking at the markets, and you did mention last week, although you were bearish, you did say that you wouldn't fall off your chair. That's my expression, but you wouldn't be surprised if we did sneak up to the 2040 level. That could happen, and certainly now it could happen. your overall sentiment based on your charts are bearish, and how would you rate the bearishness you feel right now from your chart?
Well, last time we talked, last weekend, you know, when you're looking at stochastics, for example, they're all in the high 90s. Just that small pullback that we got from the peak last week was enough to give that indicator more space to run. So now we're not quite, even though we're at new highs, we're not quite as overbought on that. We're more overbought on some other indicators. You know, there's still nosebleed levels. I still think we're gonna, you know, they're oversold, they're ready for a sell off. One thing that gave me some solace, I guess, when we did have the sell off on Thursday here in the US, the level that we pulled back to in the S&P landed on a pivot line that was it's the same line that we were shorting against 2 weeks ago. And that line was seen again from the top. So it acted as support, and then we bounced from it. That line is associated with a target support level that's much further down. It's about 18% down from the close on Friday. So I still expect, you know, that we have not made the lows in the S&P, and that at some point we're going to see that next big leg down. It's just a question of, you know, how much more upside first.
No, I get it. Look, you know, the beauty of trading and the beauty of being in the markets is, you know, if it was easy and it could be 100% identified, you know, everybody be sitting home in their jockey shorts trading. But of course, we know that's not the case. But so you're looking at it and you see these things happening in the marketplace, and sometimes they happen for no sense. But again, it doesn't matter. The footprint is always the key, is it not?
Yeah, footprints are, you know, is the, you know, that's an interesting point. So as far as, you know, looking at COTs, which I consider to be a major footprint, looking at copper, which I mentioned in my latest update, the commercials, the banks, they took off. They were, you know, pretty heavily long copper about 7 weeks ago, with the exception of this past week, the following 6 weeks, they slowly took off, you know, their long positions as, you know, copper rallied. Over this past week, they had about, you know, 50% of their long positions remaining, and they dumped them all last week. So what that's telling me is they, you know, they think copper is going to fall, and they're now in a bearish position. So
either copper is going to fall, or and the dollar is going to probably rise, which is fits all right into your work, and that is what we use as traders. We can only use the information at hand. And again, I always compare it to like playing poker. Just because you get pocket aces doesn't mean you're going to win that hand. But over time, the probabilities will always play out. We're visiting with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Always brings great information. He's got some great deals for Bubba Show listeners. I urge you to go to his website and check out DemeterResearch.com. You miss an episode, go to LibertyTalk.fm. Always there on demand. We just pushed over 200,000 per month. Love to have you there. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be back right after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
I've been feeling real good.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter, Demeter Research. You notice how good I got with your name after the time. I'm like right on target now, baby. But, you know, Matt's been, you know, with us, and he always brings great information. So, Matt, you made a call a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, it's kind of working out at the moment, and I want to know what you're doing with them now. You called for the end of the 35-year bull market in treasuries, okay? And now, you know, we've had, you know, some action. They have come down a little bit. Are you bearish still? Is it still the same thing? Is this going to be a much longer-term sell-off? What are your thoughts here?
Yes, I think the, you know, treasury bull market's over. I think we're now in there's a very good chance we're now in the bear market. The only caveat I would make to that is, if we do get one more sell off in the S&P, which I expect, you know, Treasury should rally as they typically do. You know, even if the Fed raises rates, that's going to be on the short end. You know, I'm talking about long-term Treasury. So, you know, 10, 30-year Treasuries, they should fall as, you know, the equity markets fall in reaction to, let's say, the Fed raises. If they raise an equity sell-off, I expect Treasuries to, you know, go back up to the highs of February 12th, which is when they peaked and where I think that may be the peak. If, you know, they rise back up to their old highs, they could go a little bit higher in terms of the interest rate itself, the 10-year rate. I would say, you know, when we got to 1.56 back on February 12th, we could fall a little bit lower than that. We could fall down to, you know, 1.5 even, maybe all the way down to 1.4. That would be as low as I could see it going. And then the bear market in Treasuries would begin, if it hasn't already begun.
Well, I mean, that's interesting because, you know, we all make the mistake. You know, the common investor, the common trader makes a mistake. Like, you know, we both think that the equity markets are in a bear market, and we think they're going to go lower. But that doesn't mean that there's not going to be many big rallies and you're not going to get torched along the way if you just sit there and just sell, or if they're going up, just buy. You have to read the area where the market is, because, you know, everybody forgets in 2008-09, you had plenty of opportunity to exit out of that market with not too much damage. But the problem is, of course, the emotion kicks in of greed or fear, and then it happens. But isn't that part of it? Now, when you're looking at a longer term, you know, market, and you're saying, okay, this is a bear market, will you just stay short this market, or will you exit in and out based on what your charts are telling you at certain particular times?
You mean in Treasuries?
Well, in any market. I mean, Treasuries.
Yeah. Well, in Treasuries, we've had a 35-year bull market. So this bear market, I think, is going to take a long time. I think we're going to go back to, you know, super high rates. I think we're talking 1970s all over again. So basically, we're talking about like double-digit 10-year rates. I don't know how long that'll take. I mean, it could occur if there's a currency crisis or some other dramatic event. If an event doesn't occur, then it could take a long time to get from, you know, under 2% to over 10% in the 10-year rate. And I know it's going out there a bit. Probably sounds like a wild prediction based upon what we've seen, you know, in the past 10 years, but we've just gotten so accustomed to low rates that it may sound, my overall point is that's what my charts are saying. They're saying we're going to double-digit rates. The timing, I can't say.
Well, we better get into cash and start getting CDs ready, baby.
Yeah, sure.
Well,
you earn something on your savings at least, but if we have a high inflation environment, which is probably what would occur, you know, you may just be breaking even. But
well, of course, they want to, you know, the wonderful Federal Reserve, they want to make sure that they get that little extra hidden tax in, which is through inflation, because they want to continue to devalue the dollar, because we've got just a pile of crap that's not worth anything. So what are you seeing in the overall currencies around the world now? You called for some wild action in the euro, and you've also had you were looking for, I believe, 106 as a downside.
Euro 106 is our target on the downside, just a little bit above 106. We also had a medium term support right around 108, and we had an order on Thursday right around 108, and we missed by 10 basis points. So I was a bit upset about that, because, as you know, we had that, you know, just after Mario Draghi said they thought they were good for right now, they didn't need to, you know, do any more stimulus. The euro immediately jumped back up. So in the euro, I see very strong resistance right around 114, and, you know, very strong support right around just above 106. What I'm thinking is going to happen is, just very near term, you know, is that we're going to rise, the euro would rise to perhaps 114, the dollar will get down into the dollar index will get down to the 94s. At that point, we want to be long dollars and then short euros. You should get euro back down to 106 at some point. And at that point, the dollar should be peaking out.
Now, I know you cover grains, and we know that, you know, we had a little bit of a bounce, and, you know, you called for a bottom of wheat a couple of weeks ago. We've had a bounce off of that. But when you look at the grain space now, what do you see? What's your projections out here?
Well, I think, first of all the grains were oversold. Now they're all bouncing, along with all commodities. In particular, I liked wheat, because the pattern I have in wheat made it look like, it appears to me that wheat, you know, bottomed long term. I could be wrong, but we had it's a pretty solid pattern to me. It looked like it has bottomed. Conversely, with corn in particular, also soybeans, I don't think they've bottomed long term. I think, you know, on the next commodity wave down, they'll make new lows. But I think wheat has probably won't make new lows. So we put on a pair trade where we were long wheat and short soybeans and corn. You know, and so far that's worked out. Wheat's been the big winner for the past 2 weeks.
Oh, no, 100%. I mean, again, I feel that the wheat made its new contract low, and I think that was its bottom there. And I think that corn and soybeans are probably going to go ahead also and test that. That low, and I think, but I do think overall that they're probably going to go higher. But, you know, we'll see how that plays out, you know, as we go forward. So, as we look into it, so you say the Fed possibly raises rates this week, and that's you're saying that because you're seeing that because of the dollar index. Explain to everybody how you're making that prediction.
Well, I have a. You know, the top we got, when was it, very early December, I think it was December 2nd, the high that we got in the dollar, it associates with, for me, that was a pivot target high associated with a target support low. And that target support low comes in right around 94.50 as of today. It's a rising target. So we're getting close to that rising target. And if we're there by the time the Fed speaks, then I expect the dollar to rally. I expect the dollar to rally regardless, and then it will just be a question of what does the Fed say. And I can't imagine them, you know, saying, you know, reverse, you know, either speaking dovishly. Anything that would weaken the dollar wouldn't make sense at that point. So they would have to be either a hawkish statement or a rate rise.
All right, I would fall if they raised rates. I would fall off my chair, but they are dumb enough to do that. So I can't say that they wouldn't do it. You know, it's an interesting world out there, and we've seen some unbelievable markets. But Mr. Matt Demeter has been on top of them all. You got to check out his website, DemeterResearch.com. He's got a special price and a deal for all the Bubba Show listeners, so go check out DemeterResearch.com. That's D-E-M-E-T-E-R, Research.com. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We have spent some time with our friend Matt, who does make some, first of all, he makes some bold calls, and pretty much he's pretty much on target. I love what he does. Matt, thanks for being on today.
Thanks a lot, Todd. I had fun.
This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. If you ever miss an episode, LibertyTalk.fm will get you in the download version. And again, we just are now passing 200,000 listeners a month that download it. This is the Bubba Show. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. Todd Bubba Horowitz, the Bubba Show. See you later, everybody. Have a great day. Thanks.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.